everyone. I'm Ari, here with Rachel, and we're your hosts for the Merry Writer podcast. This week, we're on episode 207, and we're asking, what is the difference between clichés and tropes? Before we dive into the topic, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, wherever you're listening, if you haven't already. And if you enjoy the show, please do share it with friends and feel free to write a review. Okay, so clichés and tropes. I think one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, very quickly, really, I don't think it's going to be a long episode, as she says that, witching extra. I have seen people sort of use cliché and trope interchangeably. And I don't think that's a good idea because you kind of need to know the differences. So a trope, if we're going to use Wikipedia, the definition of a trope, a literary trope is the use of figurative language via word, phrase, or an image for artistic effects such as using a figure of speech. Cliché, as defined by Wikipedia, is an element of artistic work, saying, or idea that has become overused to the point of losing its original meaning or effect. So those are very specific definitions. And part of me is like trying to get them in my head. Now, for me, your trope is the sort of thing like love triangle, found family. That is what I would consider a trope. Your cliche, I mean, you've probably heard the cliche, her skin was as white as snow, worked for Snow White, then it got overused. So yeah, the cliche is often just like a little phrase that if you read it, you're like, oh yeah, we've read that a million times. Whereas a trope is something, it's more of a...
It's a plot device.
It is a plot device, yeah. So, yeah. And it needs to be used like that. So I'm going to stop talking because my brain's already mushed today. Rachel, take it away.
Well, I was saying this to Ari before we actually started recording. I know that trope and cliches are two different things, but it's just one of those things that I don't know how to describe them. I don't know how to explain them. Like if somebody came up to me and was like, what's the difference between trope and a cliche? I'd be like, I couldn't tell you. I know there is a difference, but I don't know how to articulate the difference between them. So this is a great topic for the podcast. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're talking about. But Ari mentioned that like a trope, an example of a trope would be like found family or a love triangle. But when I was getting like the actual definitions, the reason we used Wikipedia is because I Googled it and Wikipedia was just the first thing that popped up. And I know Wikipedia is not always right, but yeah, there you go. You mentioned, Ari, that trope could be a found family or a love triangle. But when I was Googling it, there were a lot of websites that were saying a love triangle could be considered a cliche, which I kind of agree with because, you know, a lot of romance novels have love triangles. It's kind of overused in that sense. And depending on how well the love triangle is conveyed throughout the story and how well it's written, it can go either way as a cliche or a trope. And I think that's where it kind of gets confusing and why people think that they are one in the same. Because, I mean, in my opinion, I think tropes become trendy and then everyone uses similar tropes in their books because it's trendy and it's popular. And then over time, those beloved tropes are going to get turned into cliches. And people tend to enjoy tropes while they roll their eyes at cliches. And I think, which is kind of the whole thing, is that cliches are overused, whereas tropes are plot devices if done well and done differently and uniquely from any other story where the trope appears. That was messy. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's a weird thing because it's like cliche has always been, in my eyes, has always been, it's most about a phrase, not a specific thing. So love triangle isn't a phrase. It is a trope. It's a specific thing that people are looking for in a book. Whereas a cliche is like a saying. So that's the whole all for one and one for all that came from the Musketeers, Three Musketeers. That became, you know, it's like you can recognize it. So technically, I mean, I don't know of anyone who says that other than, you know, it's mostly in that story, but it's that sort of thing. It becomes recognizable, but obviously you can end up using the same one over and over. And that's what, you know, a cliche can then become very popular, which then can become quite trite and annoying. But it's usually a phrase and a saying. So it's the somebody woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or oh, you should kiss and make up, or now every cloud has a silver lining. It's the kind of annoying thing that people say. And maybe the first time you ever hear it, it's like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. But if people keep saying the same things here, it's like, oh, don't cry over spilt milk. It's just like, what the hell does that even mean? Just shut up. It's just annoying. And I always find a lot of cliches are these kind of peppy little things when you're upset about something or stressed about something and some idiot comes over going, fine, don't worry about it. Don't cry over spilt milk. I want to cry over spilt milk. That was very expensive milk. Shut up, kind of feeling. So I think that is it. It's a cliche is more of a saying that can be overused. So if you sit there going like, oh, her skin was as white as snow, you know, her hair as black as a raven's wing. If that is used to death over and over, or one of these sayings like, you know, all's fair in love and war, it's like, yeah, we've heard them a lot. Could you come up with something new? Whereas a trope is something a bit more meaty, more like the found family, the love triangle, the enemies to lovers. It's not a single thing. It's a plot device that runs through the book. So if you're reading a book and it's enemies to lovers, that's going to go through the whole book. You're going to start off as enemies. There's going to be those kind of crackly parts. Then there's going to be a point when it turns and they start becoming a bit more amicable, and they maybe get to more of a friendly side. And then that friendliness is going to start turning. Maybe someone rescues somebody. There's a moment, you know, quietly around the campfire, and then it's going to start easing into kind of fancy him, and then it's going to move into lovers, and that's how it is. So you've got this whole thing where it was a cliche is just a phrase thrown in, and sometimes I have seen it in books where they use the same phrase throughout the damn book, and by the end you're like, I'm so sick of hearing, I don't care that her skin is as white as snow, jeez, get some sun, love.
But see, if you think about it, cliches are inside tropes. Does that make any sense? I was making a face at me. So I think this is because obviously cliches are phrases, whereas tropes are plot devices, and they're, you know, they're much bigger, but you can have cliches inside of tropes. And this kind of goes back to what I was just saying about the love triangle. When I was like, a lot of websites, when I was like looking it up, people were saying that love triangles are cliches, but it's not the actual love triangle that's the cliche. It's the way that the love triangle is explored throughout the plot. And I can't think of any phrases, or I don't read a whole lot of love triangles because I think love triangles are overused, in which case that is a characteristic of a cliche. So I can't think of any like phrases that's typically used throughout, like to describe love triangles and the different romances throughout the story and things like that. But do you see what I'm saying? You can have a trope that turns into a cliche because of the way that it is written throughout the story. Like, it's not like the actual trope is the plot device, but the way that it's written can be overused. And if it's too similar to the way it's been done before, then it kind of turns into a cliche. And it's not just the phrases that are used. Well, I guess the phrases that are used make up the trope because that's the writing part of it.
I think if there I is just a feel specific like it's an abyss. Phrase maybe that connects to it. Like, again, I don't read enough triangles, but yeah, if there's a specific
phrase.
I don't
know why we use this as an example.
Always. Is it a cliche or is it just trite?
I mean, that could be. I don't know. I just find it interesting how people look at tropes. And I think that's where people get confused, that tropes and cliches are supposedly the same thing, because they look at tropes that are used over and over and over again and just say, this trope is overused, so it's no longer a trope, it's a cliche. But cliches are phrases. So, but also cliches are overused phrases. And if a trope is overused, does the trope become a cliche itself?
But would the trope be overused? Because most tropes are, there's like, again, it's like with the whole concept of story ideas. You know, you've got the hero's journey, rags to riches and all this. Which, by the way, rags to riches is probably a cliche.
see, the phrase itself, like the actual title of the trope is a cliche.
Where was I going with this? So yeah, so there's like, you know, there's like the 7 or 12 or whatever it is of like story ideas, and that is it. You know, there's nothing unique. It's just how you tell it. And it's the same with tropes. And I guarantee there's someone who, like we're not big on love triangles. The idea is like, if you fancy someone and you're happy and you're in love with someone, and then some other person comes in, it's like, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's like, if I was the first person, I'd be like, you know what? Then you go with that. I don't want to be someone's guess or seconds. And I'm certainly not vying for attention. I'll find someone who actually wants me. Bye bye. Make it easy. It becomes a line. You're fine. I digress. Where was I going with this? Yeah. So there'll be tropes that people hate. Like, there are tropes I will not read. And I love the push now where on social media, a lot of people put tropes. It's like, oh, this book has got found families and love triangles and enemies to lovers and forced proximity. And they've even got down to like small ones like one bed or sharing a horse. They're getting down to like the minutiae. It's not even big things anymore. It's like really small points, you know, that touch her and you die trope. And I guarantee there'll be people who look at those and go, I don't like found families, or I don't want the forced proximity or anything like that. And that's just a personal preference. I love the idea of telling people what the tropes are, because it automatically gives them an idea. Because if you like, say you like enemies to lovers, you're probably drawn to other books with enemies to lovers. So if I'm reading an enemies to lovers and I'm like, oh my god, I love it, I love that whole thing, and then someone's book pops up on Instagram and it has all the tropes and one of them is enemies to lovers, as long as it's not got one of the other ones I hate, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have a look at that. If someone was like, has this cliche in, it's like, yeah, you know what, no thanks. So there will always be tropes that people don't care for, but having the different tropes out can really draw you in, because otherwise you could be reading a book and you're like, oh, I didn't realize it was going to have this in or that in. And yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this. This is a bad episode.
No, but I don't know where I'm going with my point either, but I think that you kind of explained my point. And I think that's why I like how what are we talking about? What's the difference between tropes and cliches and this entire episode? I'm like, I think I know why people think they're the same. But what you just explained kind of further explains my point. I think it comes down to personal opinion and personal preference. If, like, I love found family. If I see book after book after book after book that says found family as the trope, whether it's the main trope or an underlying trope, whatever, it'll be on my radar because I love found family. But other people will look at that and say, oh, every book now has found family. That's such a cliche. Found family is becoming a cliche. And it's not, as we've explained, cliches are just phrases and like stereotypes, whereas tropes such as found family is the plot device for the story, and it's what helps push the story further along. It helps develop the characters, it helps the plot, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's why people think that they're the same. I apologize if this is not making any sense. It's making sense in my head, but I can't explain it.
It
comes down to opinion.
Yeah. No, you're right though, because people get so stressed about something, they're like, oh, I don't like that. But I'm going to use movies as an example. Superhero movies, because that is the biggest trope. Regular person gets bitten by a spider, hit by radiation, does he find a ring or a lantern? I don't know. I watched The Green Lantern ages ago. It was awful. I never watched the thing. Give me a minute. I'm trying to call you. Has a weird experience and decides to dress up as a bat. You know, it's all this kind of some regular person has hits, you know, specific thing, bitten by a spider, hit with radiation, whatever, turns into a superhero, has a crisis, doesn't want to help people, gets over crisis because their mentor dies. You know, it's the typical storyline of the superhero. Their mentor dies, their girlfriend, boyfriend, dog gets kidnapped, and they have to rise to the occasion. There's your trope. Regular person gets hit with something and turns into superhero. That is a trope in its own way. It's the same with the Chosen One. Chosen One trope. Same diff. And yet, it's funny how we will see it in movies and be fine. You know, how many people have just watched all the Marvel movies? And again, there's a lot of people who got so sick of the Marvel movies because it's like, getting tired of seeing superheroes. Again, it's the same storyline. So again, it comes from popularity. It's like, if something becomes too popular to the point where it's saturating the market, that will still be great for the people who love it. You know, like the people who love Star Wars. I enjoyed the first three movies. I watched two of the other movies and then didn't give a crap because I didn't enjoy them. The amount of Star Wars stuff coming out, it just blows my mind. But obviously, if you're a massive Star Wars fan, then you love all of it. I'm assuming you do. You just watch everything, you'll take it all in. But there'll be people like me who are like, oh my God, so much Star Wars. And I think it's the same with tropes. If people are constantly seeing found families and enemies to lovers, they're going to get bored of it because that's not for them. So then it becomes like, oh, everyone does it. It's like, yeah, but maybe you just happen to be in the social media thread that's where people put it. There are other tropes that other people write that you might like. But if all the ones you're seeing are the stuff that's popular, and it's popular because people buy it, so then people write it and it just feeds into the trope machine, then you're going to get the same things. Because that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, if you like found families, you're going to look for books with found families. So then as those books sell, more people are going to write found families because they're going to be like, oh, people are buying those. And it just keeps going. So yeah, I have no idea where this episode is going.
I don't either. But see, that begs the question, how many different ways can you write found family? Like, taking your superhero example, they follow the same storyline, but if they all say like similar phrases to describe their situation and stuff like that, that is a cliche. So the cliches are inside the trope, which is what I was trying to say earlier. It's like Pinocchio's nose. I don't know what that's called, but like I forget what that's called. Paradox? I don't know. Pinocchio's nose. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, I'll explain in case other people don't know what I'm talking about. If Pinocchio says that his nose is going to grow and it does, then that means he was telling the truth. But his nose grow if he's lying, so it wouldn't have grown.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, so would it grow? Because it's like, if he says
then my it makes nose it the truth. Grow.
Exactly.
Ooh.
And so
now we're paradoxes.
It is a paradox, right? Is that the thing? But that's what I mean. Is that what tropes and cliches are? Could they be one in the same? Like, they're not one in the same. They're technically different, but like cliches are tropes. Like, not all cliches are tropes. No. But it's like turtles and tortoises. turtles is the species and tortoises is the subspecies. So all turtles are tortoises, but not all tortoises are turtles.
I thought they were the tortoise that walks on the land, and then the turtle with the flippers that swims in the sea.
Oh, no, no.
Two different things, but apparently not. Learn something new every
day. Those would be sea turtles. I mean, I have a turtle and a tortoise. They're both land mammals. They are reptiles, not mammals.
You're just thinking, but... yes. I did not know that. We have to go look up turtles.
Yeah. So that's kind of what that's how I view tropes and cliches. I know they're different, but at the same time, they're so similar. Like, I feel like they could be one in the same, like, tropes. Like, the Chosen One, that is a trope, but it is also a phrase used in many books and movies, in which case, that would be a cliche.
Well, it could be, yeah. It's making me really confused, because, yeah, to me, cliches were always the head over heels in love. That's a cliche. Or what goes around comes around is a cliche. So if you're hearing those in stories, and some idiot's going, what goes around comes around. Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I'm getting more confused. Maybe we should have.
I know, really. Part. Well, that's what I mean. I thought, like, cliches, again, I know they're different, but, like, looking at the definition where it says a cliche is a phrase or a stereotype, I'm like, are you sure there's not much to it?
I mean, because you said, like, opposites attract is a cliche, but could that also be considered a trope?
But it's also a trope in, like, romance novels, for example. Yeah. So that's what I mean. They are different things, but they can be one and the same.
So opposites attract could technically be a trope, is, you know, if you put that in a romance thing. But mm-hmm. if it is used as a saying, then it's a cliche.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we figured it out. You know what? I'm really sorry, people. We've had some crappy times when we were recording this back in November. It was a really rough time. We're not at our best. So hence why this is a little bit of a chunky, crunchy episode. We have them every now and then. We appreciate you getting through it. But I'm fine to just end it.
I think the episode does make sense in a weird way, though. I think our conversation, it went in circles. But I think, I'm hoping somebody got something out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Probably a big laugh or just an idea never to listen to us again.
I mean, whatever works.
We'll be better next time, I promise. You know what? Let's wrap it up, people.
Promises you can't keep.
Those are the only promises I do, because I forget them. What am I doing? Okay, let's turn it over to you guys. What are your favorite tropes? I'd love to know them. Or your favorite cliches? Maybe you have a really strong cliche you really like. Share it. So let us know your answers in the comments and we'll chat about it. Remember, we do release new episodes every Wednesday. Next week, we'll be discussing what writers should discuss on their blogs. To ensure you don't miss it, hit the subscribe button on your way out. And as always, thank you so much for listening to the Mary Writer Podcast. And we'll see you next week. This podcast is brought to you by Scraps of Paper. We have notes everywhere. The music titled Inspired is by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons 4.0.